it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We are back, see?
Again.
That's it, man. We have been able to, you know what? I think we've maintained our R2C2 mojo through the offseason.
Yeah, it's been pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know, everybody's just loving your glasses. Have you noticed this? It's become a thing. Like, the CC offseason beard glasses look, it's taken off in Yankee land. The fans love it, man.
Yeah, I'm not in Yankee land during the offseason, so I don't know.
And you can't have the beard during the season. So.
Yeah, so it's like, you know what I mean?
Have you ever had those conversations like, hey, what do you think if we, like, change this rule? And allow us to have
peace. Nah, it ain't no. That's a boss rule.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's no changing that.
Some things you just can't.
It ain't nothing. Nothing you can do about
that.
You're
not going to be able to do it. How's the contact situation going?
For my glasses?
Yeah, because weren't
you
going
to.
Yeah, you're good? Yeah. Feels good?
We got it figured out.
Oh, nice, man. Very good. I like it. Well, the style is being very much appreciated by Yankee Land, even if you're not a part of it. They like it, man. I was even getting hit up after we did the Yes video, like, wow, C looks great. Like, I'm like, yeah, man, I told him. It's a good look.
It's my disguise. One of Carter's friends, his little buddy comes over on Saturdays after they play basketball, and he was like, is that a disguise? Is that your disguise? Because I had on hat, glasses, my beard, you know what I'm saying? Like, nah, this is me.
That's your incognito off-season
really
look? That's true. When you, that's the thing, too. I think we've talked about this with someone else who was tall, who was a guest. But, like, you know, if you're trying to be incognito, easier if you're not as big, right? Like, because you could
grow
a beard.
Of me, yeah.
Yeah. When you're sick, what are you,
no
six,
chance
seven?
To be hiding, in anything.
6'7", you're not going to be.
Not like, hiding.
Same thing with, hey, what's it going to be like for Judge, like, year after year now in this city? He can't hide anymore.
Yeah. I think you just get used to it.
Like, yeah.
It's you, so it's nothing, you know what I mean? It's nothing you can do about it. Like, you can't change your body, you can't change anything, so you just get used to getting harassed.
Would there ever be a level of fame that you would reach that you think would just make you stay in the house all the time? Like, if you had Jay-Z, because you already have a good amount of fame, but if you had Jay-Z fame, do you think you'd be like, I'm just staying in the house?
No, he don't stay in the house.
I know he does.
They're everywhere.
Talks about how he kind of does, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not that type of, like, I'm not going to let it disrupt my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to still go to the movies. I'm going to still go hang out with my friends and do different things. And, you know, it's just part of it.
Now,
but Hov does, I mean, he's out and about.
Like, he'll go to whatever restaurant he wants, walk around. That's good,
He goes everywhere.
You don't want to have all that stuff stripped from you.
Yeah, and, I mean, it just makes you weird.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you stay in the house, it makes you weird.
It's true. You need.
You might as well just deal with the people and you know, deal with it.
You need some exposure to the rest of the... When does Hov come out with another solo album? Do you think we have to wait a while?
I don't think that happens.
You think he's done with solo albums?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Are you speaking with insider knowledge?
I have no idea. No, I have no clue. I haven't talked to him or talked to anybody. No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he came out with this album with Beyonce this last year.
That's true. And he had 444 the year before.
I could see one more, but I mean, just my gut's telling me that might be it, 444.
Do you have the kind of relationship with him where you could, like, where you text him and be like, hey, man, when am I getting a new album?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's cool, man. Yeah. Have you ever done it?
No, I never text him.
No, you ever did that?
I say, I don't want to text him stupid shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Are you classifying this as stupid shit?
That's stupid
shit.
I don't want people texting me stupid shit. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I wouldn't text him stupid shit.
What would be the equivalent of stupid shit from people to text you? Like, about your career. What would it be? That would be like, why are you texting me this?
Like, during the season, like, are you pitching again or when are you pitching again? Like, you can't go look that shit up. You know what I'm saying? Like, just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I would have to get the text to show you, and then it'll be like, I'm going to text you, forward it to you, be like, this is stupid shit.
All right, the next one you get that stupid if it's from me myself.
I'll forward it to you.
Do you know what was stupid shit?
When Matt Siegel texted me about something shit I said about Babe Ruth or something. Remember that?
Oh, yes,
that was
yes.
fucking stupid. Don't text me that dumb shit.
That's right. Well, I'm glad you called out Matt for it, because Matt used to ragging on everybody
else.
Where
he was like, if somebody said, you said Babe Ruth isn't real or some shit like that. Remember that?
Yeah.
Don't text me this stupid shit.
Don't drag me into a world that I don't even know is going on.
Oh my God.
That's funny. I know what it is. You know what I would classify that as for me when I'm at, I may not even be at Yankee Stadium and someone will text me like, if there's inclement weather or there's a possibility, are we playing tonight? Like, what are you hearing about the weather? And it's like, you know, it's like 11 a.m. and I'm doing a WNBA game in Atlanta. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I've I don't know. It's 11 a.m. Like, how would I know by
just
now?
Like everybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
The players don't know.
But isn't it funny? Like, everybody assumes that if you're at the stadium, you know exactly what's going to happen with the weather.
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
They do. Like,
That's another thing that pissed me off too. Like, they know when they're gonna cancel the games. Like, they make us drive in. Like, just cancel that shit at 11 a.m. Why the fuck am I driving in and you know you're about to cancel this game? That's not an off day. Now I have to use one of my off days. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't get a full off day.
I hate that shit. You know when that
always happens on day games too. Oh. It's always a day game where I'm like up at 7 a.m. and I'm like, should I drive in? Should I not? And I get halfway there and they cancel the game. I'm like, fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could have stayed in the bed. Like, this shit pisses me off.
Sometimes, like, I think rain delays are fun for camaraderie and hanging out. Like, and then
for us, you mean?
Well, I don't know because I'm not down there with you guys, but I feel it even with, like if I'm spending, like, an hour or two, like, just, like, hanging out with, like, David Cohn or whatever and, like, kind of, you know, there's, like, this weird loopy energy that people get during a rain delay where it's just, like, what's going on here? But then people start telling stories.
It depends. Some rain delays are really fun.
Yeah.
Like, some rain delays are, like, you know, we got a soccer ball out, kicking ball around, or, you know, Didi's doing some shit, or, like, everybody's hanging around, you know, because when you have a rain delay, most of the time everybody's in one room.
Yeah.
Because you're just waiting to see when we're starting back. Like, during the course of the day, like, guys are scattered all over the clubhouse.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Guys are in the food room, different places. But most of the time during the rain delay, we're all in one spot. So that makes for, like, some interesting games and fun times.
What does Didi do that he's, like?
Didi just does everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could be, you know, him with a drone or, you know, some kind of electronical device or – you know, soccer ball, anything. Like, it's just, most of the stuff comes from his locker.
He flies a drone around the clubhouse?
Sometimes, yeah.
That is amazing, man. What's awesome is, like, Didi has all these other interests.
Didi's a cool-ass dude, man. Like, he does everything. Like, there's nothing that he can't do really good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, anything. Like, he draws. You know what I'm saying? Like, he does everything.
You know what else is funny, too? Like, and sometimes I'll joke about this with him, like, if you ask him something, sometimes, like, he answers immediately, like, in this contrarian tone. Have you know, like, it's like, so, man, like, you know, what's your approach against left-handed pitching? You're hitting so well against lefties. And it's like a complimentary thing, right? And he's like, well, my approach against left-handed pitching is exactly the same as my approach against right-handed pitching. You know, like, I'm like, no, man, I'm just paying you a compliment. We're just having a conversation. And then, like, he gets
defensive sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. But then he gets to a place where he, like, will give you something interesting, but, like, his, like, autopilot is defensive, you know? Like,
for sure.
And it's hilarious.
I think that's
me.
Most players, though, especially playing here.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And I get that. And, like, I love that guy, and I have a great relationship with him, so I just find it, like, funny, because I'll be like, man, what do you want? I'm just asking you this, and he'll be like, I know. But he's, like, he's just a cool guy, man. He's an interesting
He
dude.
Does a lot of different things, man. It's fun.
I hope he gets back, you know, sooner than later this season, because he's such a huge part of what you guys do, and you just, like, he's a dude who, like, I always feel good against. Like, good pitching, bad pitching, no matter what, that guy is just, like, steady, man. And his defense, too.
His defense. That's what I was about to say. I mean, you know, at the plate, he's getting better, obviously getting better every year. But his defense is unmatched. Like, he makes every play. So there's nobody in the league that I'd rather have besides Didi playing short. So, yeah, we need him back soon.
How about, you know, because one of the things, you know, the powers that be want us to discuss on this episode of R2C2 is the rest of the offseason moves. And, you know, since we last spoke, you guys didn't have Ottavino yet. And now you add Ottavino. You have Britton in the pen, obviously. You still have Dellin and Chapman. You go with Holder and Green as a starter. What do you think about that bullpen you guys have?
It's amazing. It's I said last year we had the best bullpen ever. You know what I'm saying? And it might be this year. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, you know, the thing about a bullpen, though, is, you know, the guys' performances change year to year. I mean, that's everything, every position, but more so in the bullpen, you never know. It's very unpredictable. So to have, like, those four solid guys in the back, you know, it makes a huge deal.
That's a great point because for whatever reason, relievers are more volatile. Like you see a guy have a sub-2 ERA and then a 5 ERA the next year.
You just really never know, especially changing teams and changing leagues and different things. Like you just never know how it's going to shake out year to year with relievers. But to have, you know, Chappie back there, have, you know, Britton, Dellin, Ottavino, like those guys are solid. You know what I mean? Those guys are all-stars. They've been doing it for a long time. They know how to get themselves in, you know, in and out of jams. You know what I'm saying? So – I think it's going to be big for us.
The other nice thing is one goes on the DL. Hey, you have three more to cover for him, right? Or if one's struggling for a period of time, the other guys can cover for him. Kind of like everybody there knows what it's like to close. They know what it's like to pitch in big games. It's filthy. As a starter, it's got to be like, hey, like, I mean, I know your mentality is always going to be, I want to go as long as possible, but like you guys really are in a position where if you throw five good innings, those guys could lock down a game for you.
Yeah, for sure. Like you said, you always want to go. Obviously, want to go deeper in the game as possible. But if you can't, you know, you have Holder, you got Greeny, you got those four in the back. So it's just going to be a lot of fun. You got Tommy Canley. You know what I'm saying? Like we still got. I mean, it's guys. You know, we got Tarpley. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah, he looked good at the end of the year.
He looked great at the
man.
End of the year.
Yeah.
So we got to wait and see what he comes in with. I mean, there's so many options out of that pen. It's going to be fun to watch.
What are your impressions of Ottavino? What you've seen from him and his stuff? And
I've never seen him pitch.
Oh, you haven't?
I've only seen like that breaking ball that they show on MLB Network with a guy scooting back. I mean, it looks filthy. But, and he's very confident. He said he strike out Babe Ruth every time.
That's right, he did.
So that's good.
And I told you my story of facing him. And right? I think I did.
Yeah, you did.
Which, you know what's – okay. I'm glad we have this opportunity to talk about this. Like, so when he signed with the Yankees – of course, like I was like, oh, here's a fun, cute story I'll tell. Like I faced him in high school, right?
Did he say you didn't?
No.
Oh.
I don't know if he knows or doesn't know. He followed me on Instagram. I didn't ask him. I didn't DM him. But I didn't message him that. Like I don't know if he knows that we faced each other in high school. That's all I got as far as him knowing or not. But what was amazing to me is I thought like, okay, this is a fun, cute story to share. Like, of course, like it would be more unnatural to not share a story about me like facing a guy the Yankees just signed than it would be to share, right? Like I'm one of our Yankees announcers, very natural, right? It's amazing me telling a story about popping up to shallow center field, how many legitimate, and this is why, you know, Twitter is, you know, filth of the world, but like how many legitimate responses I got from people that were like, oh, nice humble brag, man. I'm like, humble brag? Or like, nice, what is it, flex. Nice flex. I'm like, flex? I'm talking about something that's purely happenstance based on geography that happens to be cute
and
coincidental.
Yeah, but you can't let those people bother you, though.
I know. You're right about that. I agree. I shouldn't.
Who cares about those people? But like, the shit happened. I thought like, it didn't happen.
And, oh,
like,
no.
Somebody was calling you out like, this shit didn't happen.
No.
Who gives a fuck if those people believe you or not? Like, fuck those people.
But it's just weird when people are like, nice flex, bro. I'm like, I'm flexing? I popped out to shallow center field. What kind of flex is that?
Yeah.
I was merely mentioning
a lot of weirdos out there, bro.
Oh, my gosh. There are, man. There are. And for the most part, usually, like if someone tweets at me and they're like, you know, you suck, man. I'm like,
were you going back and forth with people on this topic?
A little bit. A little bit. Just a little bit, man. Just a little bit. But like, you know, like if someone's like, you suck, that doesn't bother me because I'm like, I know I don't. You know, like they're like, you're just intentionally trying to be a troll or inflammatory, whatever. But if you say something that like I feel like is just like sort of a little more niche than that or nuanced and like inaccurate, like I don't know. That remember we talked about sometimes someone was like, hey, CeCe, why is your arm slot dropped slightly? And all of a sudden it's like, wait, is it? Like, you know, like, so though there's some weird things sometimes that could get under my skin, man. Like, if it's flagrant, I let it go. But if it's like, and I was like, what are these people talking? This isn't a flex, man. Anyway, I just spit all over the table. You're right. I should just let it go.
You should have let that shit go. Some shit you got to let go, bro.
I know, man. Anyway, I did face Adafino in high school, and he did get me to pop out the serve. And I do remember seeing that slider and being like, you know, it was, you know how like.
Did he go to college? Was he a college guy?
He went to Northeastern.
Okay.
Yeah, he went to Northeastern. And then was a first-round pick by the Cardinals, I believe, 30th overall. Like, I mean, so, yeah, he had pedigree and was a starter and then turned reliever, you know, and he's nasty, man. That pen could just be filthy. What about your offseason overall? How do you feel about, like, the moves you guys have made in total?
Oh, we've done some good things, I think. I think the Paxton move gets overlooked just because it was so early in the offseason. Nobody really talks about us signing that guy, I mean, or trading for that guy. I mean, that guy can win the Cy Young. He's got that type of stuff, so. You know, adding him with, you know, Seve and Tanaka, I mean, it's going to be huge. So, you know, I think our moves are very underrated, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I think it's been some good moves, and I don't think we needed much. It's already really good team that, you know, that went to the ALCS. So, you know, I don't think it's needed that much.
I agree with you. That's how I felt all along. Like,
did we go to the ALCS?
ALDS. Yeah.
ALDS last year.
Well, CS17, Game 7, DS last year.
My brain's fried.
Yeah, hey, it's all right, man. I kind of agree. I'm like, I feel like it's underrated, and I think the Paxton one does get overlooked because it happened a while ago, or it happened
early in the offseason that people just overlook it. But that could potentially be a huge, huge trade for us.
Yeah,
huge.
Man. Well, I mean, and also you get a full season of Hap now too. Mm-hmm. You know, those are big things for the rotation.
For sure.
I agree, man. I really like what you guys have done, and I think the only reason it hasn't gotten the fanfare it deserves is because people were expecting the big splash, right? They were expecting Machado or Harper, and because that hasn't happened.
Were people expecting Harper?
I don't know,
I'm not in Yankee land like you are. Like, people were expecting us to sign Bryce Harper.
I don't think they were once you traded for Stanton, but like years before that, always. So I think there's still like some built-up expectation of like Bryce Harper in a Yankee uniform. He grew up a Yankee fan.
Grew up a Yankee fan. I know. They were winning championships in the 90s, so everybody that was a kid during that period grew up Yankee.
It's not the most unique thing. Yeah. No, I know. But so I think people were more, by the end of the year, more expecting Machado for this particular team. But, like, they still have there's some remnants of their mentality over the last few years before you traded to Stanton, when it was like, oh, when Harper's going to be a free agent, they'll get him, you know? Which, by the way, Manny still being out there. Is that crazy?
Both of them still being out there. It's almost fucking February. These guys are 25, 26 years old, best players in the league, and they can't get a job. It's crazy. So crazy to me. I don't understand what's going on. I have no clue. I don't know what's happening or what's not, you know, owners, whatever. I don't know. I have no answers. I just think it's fucking nuts.
Is it something?
And it's not even those guys. It's the guys behind them, too. You know, you got Adam Jones out here, free agent. You got Gio Gonzalez out here. Like, these are big league, quality big league players that can help teams win. And they're not being signed. It's crazy. I don't understand.
Do you think there's going to be a breaking point at some point soon with this? Because this is the second offseason in a row we've seen
this. And last year we were just saying, oh, you know, it's the talent. The guys are out there. This year it's the fucking talent's out there.
Yeah.
These guys should be getting signed. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. I mean, I have no answers. I don't know what's going on. I have no clue, but it's just crazy. It's so crazy that it's almost February and that the two biggest names in baseball, in the sport, can't get a job.
Right.
It's crazy.
In their prime, too.
In their prime. Like, these guys are 26 years old.
Like, I do understand the teams going away from giving 10-year deals to 30-year-old guys.
Yeah,
I get that. But yeah, these guys are 26.
And A-Rod had a good point. You know, when he signed his 10-year 250, that was 10 years ago.
Right.
Almost. Yeah, but
yeah, it was after the 07 season.
Yeah, so almost and
more than 10 years.
The game's been growing. You know, every team's making money.
Yeah.
So the salary should go up. It is what it is. A guy's making $40 million a year. It is what it is. The sport can handle it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They're trying to control the salaries, and they're doing a good job of it.
Well, this is what I always say in regard to NBA salaries too when you look at like guys, because all of a sudden the numbers are going to get so much bigger than what people are used to. But you really have to look at them as a percentage of the revenue, right? Not the actual number itself, because the revenue is going up.
Look at the league. Yeah, yeah, look at what the sports is, where the sport is going.
Right.
It's growing. So exactly. The players need to get paid accordingly.
I guess that's what's interesting. I don't know enough about MLB's financials to know how much more money they're making now than they were in 2008.
I don't know, but I know they're making, every team's making money.
Yeah.
Where back in 2008, some of the teams might have been operating, you know, in the red.
Yeah.
Now all these teams are making money.
Yeah. And that's why it's like, you could look at a number and say like, wow, like they're not worth, I'll use the NBA so it's not as close to home, right? Like, wow, that dude's not worth $45 million, but is he worth 15% of, you know, your team's salary? Or is he worth like 25% of your team's salary? And all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, he is. You got to think of it more as a percentage of what the league is bringing in than as like an individual number that just seems enormous to you.
Yeah, but the number is what it is. If the sport's growing, the teams can handle it. Got to pay the players.
I agree, man.
You know what I'm saying?
I do agree with that. I'm curious what's going to happen here. Like, and I wonder if, you know, I mean, I was hearing suggestion, or I was reading some reports about, could Manny sign a 1-year deal and go hit free agency again next year?
Could he sign a 2 or 3 year deal?
Yeah,
and
right.
Still be in his 20s.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. What if he signed like a 3-year deal
and got to the next
$35
CBA.
Million a year?
And then got to the next CBA. You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's a good point.
Who knows?
Yeah.
But I
Would you be stressed if this was your big free agent year?
Oh,
if this was
gosh.
your 09? Yeah.
Oh, I'd be stressed out.
Yeah.
I was stressed out and I signed December 5th. And I was stressed out, and everybody in Yankee land was saying, why'd it take so long?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so you do know about Yankee land?
No, I have no idea, but I know what people were saying about me not taking that contract right away when they first offered it here.
Speaking of, like, stupid shit text messages, do people asking you, like, how your free agency is going qualify as that? If people are like, what's going on, C? Are you going to sign?
Like, oh, yeah, I bet you Manny's, like, turned his phone off.
Yeah?
For sure.
Yeah.
I don't know Harper at all, but I know, but I'm sure Machado's turned his phone off.
Have you, break a little news for us on R2C2C, have you reached out to Manny again at any point recently?
I talked to him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. You think, is it still possible he ends up in Pinstripes, you think?
I think the longer that this shit drags out, the better chance we have.
Interesting. I mean, it'd be a heck of a coup to finish off the offseason with him after everything else the team's already done. I don't think that it's not as necessary as some other teams that don't have as many pieces, but man, he is still an incredible player.
Oh my God, he's one of the best third basemen in the league. You know what I'm saying? So shortstops too, but yeah, I mean, to be able to get that guy for any team is going to be huge.
Yeah,
you add him to our rosters, I mean, puts us over the top.
Yeah. By the way, how about Hall of Fame news this this past week? Let's start with your buddy and former teammate Mariano Rivera being the first unanimous Hall of Famer. Were you excited for him?
I was, man. I texted him and tried to call him. I'm sure he's getting a bunch of calls, but this is awesome to see. I mean, we knew he was going in. I knew he was going in unanimous.
Yeah, you had no doubt?
I really didn't. I just felt like he's the perfect guy for it. I mean, it's been a bunch of guys before that probably should have got it, but just leading up to it and everybody talking about it, I thought he'd be the guy.
I'm so happy for seeing the reaction. Do you see that video of the reaction of his family when they found out it
was
unanimous?
Yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome.
That was so cool,
and just
man.
Knowing his family and knowing his kids and knowing, you know, everything. It was fun to see that. I like that when they show the call and the family's around. That's dope.
It's
that's
so
awesome.
Cool. He also has the most gorgeous signature I've ever seen in my life. His handwriting. Have you ever seen his autograph? Like, I mean, I'm sure
I'm trying to recall it. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's ridiculous. It's like a Van Gogh. I mean, it's like it's insane looking at it.
What's this got to do with the Hall of Fame?
Man, I'm just. Well, now I can't believe how gorgeous the script of his HOF is going to be at the bottom of his name. I was so happy for him because, you know, as a Yankee fan, I'm 32, right? I grew up. Mo is, you know, my prime. You know. Growing up years as a Yankee fan, and like that feeling you had with him coming into the game, like it's just it's hard to even really articulate what that felt like as a fan. I'm sure even more so what it felt like as a teammate, but like knowing that you had a superhero on your team, right? Like in your mind,
he
was infallible.
I'll go back to playing against him And like, and what that felt like watching them run out, it's like, fuck, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't have a lead by the eighth inning, which we never did most of the time against them, then it's over. Like, it's literally over. There's nothing you can do. Nothing you can do. I remember, I don't know what year it was. Might have been 2002. Billy Selby hit a grand slam walk-off of against him in Cleveland at Jacobs Field. And that was like the highlight of our season. Like, we partied like it was like the World Series. Like, he hit a grand slam off Mo. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, lefty hitter too. Like, it was just crazy. So, like, to be on his team was awesome. But, like, playing against him was the worst.
Yeah. It is, like, when he used to blow a save, I used to always do this. I can remember one save because it was a win that Pettit had in the bag. And Marco Scudero hit a three-run homer off him in Oakland.
I remember that.
You remember that? Yeah.
We always had bad games in Oakland. God,
yeah,
damn.
I know. I remember that. That was a tough place. Remember that one? Yeah. And I remember just like waiting for the replay to see what actually happened. Because surely Mo didn't actually give that up. Like, anytime he blew a save, I would sit there waiting for the replay of what really happened.
I would, every time he blew a save, I would just know that 40 in a row were coming after. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that one, whatever. You know what I mean? And a lot of the times, like, when he would blow a save, it would, like, to get swept. I think, like, we got swept in Oakland that time.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So it would be like shit like that where he would give up, he would blow a save, and it would be, like, the worst time. You know, like, what I'm saying? What?
Yeah, that's a great point, man. That's a great point. Yeah. The fact that he always remained, like, so calm, yet had these few but powerful emotional moments on the mound, I thought was so incredible, right? Like, obviously, we all know, like, when he would blow a save, he'd still walk off the same way. Like, I always remember in 96, Game 6 of the World Series, he came in 7th, 8th innings and just mowed down the Braves, and the crowd was ridiculous, and he just walked so slowly from the mound back to the dugout, you know, just, like, calmly taking it in, not acknowledging, but just, like, soaking it in, because that's how he was, so poised, right? And then the emotion on the mound, Game 7 of the 0-3 ALCS, him crying after throwing those three shutout innings when Boone hits the home run, and then when Andy and Derek went to take him out.
And, oh, yeah.
Like, and that, like, just seeing him, like, how even-keeled he was, but allowing himself to really feel in those few moments where he just, like, let it out.
Yeah, I don't even think he wanted to cry on the mound when Andy and Derek came out there. I think it just happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was such a cool moment to even be a part of, like, to be out there. That was dope.
What would you – did you ever have, like, opposing hitters, like, talk to you about Mo and what it was like facing Mo?
No, I don't think people ever really talked about it. Like, it was just – you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean – no, not that I could think of. It was just it was always just rough for guys.
Yeah. I mean, it really was. He's incredible. And he's such a – I can remember – you remember the first Hope Week in 09 that we did? I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Okay. But the first event was at this couple's home in the Bronx. And they would do this, like, youth group thing where they, like – bring kids in, and they'd speak to him and have, like, really interesting dialogues. I forget the couple's name, but it was, like, really interesting discussions. And Mo, that was Mo's event that he was doing for Hope Week, and I was there as part of Yankees on Demand. And it was, like, a small apartment, so it was a bunch of us, like, cramped in there, and Mo and I just ended up next to each other listening as this guy was kind of going through his program that he does with the youth. And, like, Mo just, like, and, you know, some people are going to be there because they have to be there, but they're not going to be engaged or invested. And Mo just, like, turning to me and being like, this is what it's all about. You see how beautiful this is? You see how beautiful these conversations are? This is what human life is all about. Like, just, like, so touched by it, you know? Like, and I'm like, he just had, like, such a dignity to him, you know? I mean, he still does, obviously, but, like, so I'm just so happy this dude, because he deserved this honor.
He deserved it for sure. I'm happy Moose got in too. You know, obviously he deserved it playing all that long in the AL East, not getting his World Series, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, winning 20 games and walking off it. It's good that he got in.
Have you ever gotten to interact with
Moose? I've never said hello, a word, anything to him, ever.
I'm telling you right now, he would be a fascinating episode, because he's an interesting dude, doesn't talk in cliches at all. Like, if he doesn't think your question is worthy, he'll let you know. Like, you know, I mean, like, we did something with him in Montoursville after he retired. one of the my favorite things I've ever done. Nice. Like, and people, everyone was like, you know, you got to be careful. He can be a, you know, whatever. I'm like, I, you know, whatever. He couldn't have been more interesting and better to us. Like, nice. It was, oh, dude, it was.
That's good. I'm glad he got in, man. That's awesome.
He had an amazing career, man.
He did. He had a good career.
You know, like, yeah. I mean, like, he, for a long time, like.
Pitching all in this division.
Yeah, exactly. You know, exactly. And I do think that matters, you know, like, high stakes, big division, big games. Like,
yeah, one, I think that matters for sure. Playing against the best competition.
Yeah.
You know, and being able to. Not being on the best team.
Right.
You know, and being able to hold you on.
What do you think you, when you're on the ballot 5 years after you retire, so 2024 will be the first year you'll be on the ballot, right? What do you think you'll be like, because obviously you could get in, even you could get in year one, year five, whatever. Do you think you'll be like, have people over, huddle around the phone? Will you wait and see?
Oh, no, I won't be waiting.
No.
Nah, I don't think I could do that. Because I'd be so disappointed if I didn't get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to be sitting there waiting, like, just wait to, like, do whatever. And then if it happens, it happens.
Do you think you'd just treat it like, hey, I'm not expecting anything. We'll see what happens.
Don't they usually, like, know if you go, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't know how that works.
I don't know how it works either.
Because in, like, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, they tell you to go, like, wait in a hotel room, and you either get a knock on your door or you don't.
But the night before.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, this is, like, they show Mo, like, getting a call.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how do they know? Like, obviously they know for Mo, you know what I'm saying? But, like, for Moose.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What about Roy Halladay? Did he know before?
Right. It's true. So. I don't know. I don't know how that works. Will you be nervous, or you just kind of go do something else that day?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's so far away.
I know it is.
You know what I'm saying?
It is.
It's like, yeah, I don't know.
It is. But.
Yeah. I mean, I want to get in, but I don't. I mean, I'm not like, it's not like a. I don't know. I'll be fine if I don't.
Yeah,
you know what I'm
yeah. Like, I know what you mean. It's not like my life's a failure if
yeah,
I didn't get in.
Like,
yeah.
I still had a good career. Yeah. I still won a World Series. Like, yeah. I still play for, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
two World Series.
Yeah, two.
That's
it'll be
right.
Two by then.
That's
you
right.
Know
come
what
on,
saying?
Man.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it won't diminish anything I accomplish. You know what I'm saying? So,
no.
But it would be fun to get in for sure.
I have an important question I have to ask you. I've also been told I need to tell this story on the air. So, but I have to ask you, would you go to your podcast co-host's wedding if it was in Italy?
Depends on when it is, cuz.
That's right.
It depends on when it is and if I can, like, make another trip out of it. Like, if I can go to somewhere else after that. Around it.
And, if, like, Saint-Tropez is included in the or you're going to see soccer
for
afterwards
sure.
or something like that. Yeah, man. This is our first time recording since I became an engaged
congratulations,
man.
Congratulations, bro.
Thank
congratulations.
You, dude. Thank you. I have to say, I literally was thinking of you and Andrew McCutchen, like, leading up to it because of the episode.
Oh,
where
the
we
story.
Talk,
Where
we talk about McCutchen getting engaged on Ellen and you talking about how your dad was waiting a video, and you just, like, were so nervous, whatever. You just asked in the bathroom upstairs, like, right? Like, because when Amber came in and saw you had the ring or something.
Nah, she
like
didn't
that?
See it. I just got nervous. Like, I saw her and came in, and then we did. I just did it right there. But I was out of town.
You were,
I was gone. Where'd you do it at?
So I did it at this art gallery called Hollis Taggart Gallery. Shout out to them. They couldn't have been nicer, more helpful. Unbelievable. So, like, I had known that, like, I knew I wanted to do it before Andrea and I went to going to Hawaii, and I was like, all right, like, she might have her antenna up then. I want to do it before that. And so I was, like, trying to find a time, right? And so we already had dinner plans with my friend Bobby and his wife Julie. And so I was like, all right, she'll be, like, dressed up or whatever, already, like, ready to go out to dinner. I can, like, use this as the excuse to, like, get her out and, like, because, you know, I had to, like, have a reason. You know what I mean? Like, so I had, you know, that set up, and I told them, I was like, hey, I'm going to bail on these dinner plans, but I have a good reason why, whatever. They're like, great, cool, we'll play along. So I was like, all right, I wanted to do something that was, like, sort of you know, in character with, like, something we enjoy or our relationship or whatever. And, like, we both like going to art galleries. And so I was like, okay, that might be something. And you know me, man. I love love. I'm a total romantic. So, like, this is something, like, I've always wanted to do. Like, and I wanted to do it up big, right? So, the artist, Joe, who did the Yoda that I gave you for your birthday,
yeah.
he also does paintings. So, I had given him, like, a few pictures, and then I found out, I asked him, which one does he think would paint best? Pictures of Andrea and me. And he said this one. Now, my idea was to have him do an oil painting of me and Andrea, and then in the bottom corner, instead of signing his name, sign, "Will you marry me?" And his idea was, what if I do it even like as Will, and then the initial "you" and "marry me," so it like really looks like a name. And I was like, perfect, bro. That's great. You know?
Yeah, that's dope.
And it's funny because everybody who you kind of bring in to have help you,
they add something.
Yeah, they really do, and they enhance it. So anyway, so he's like, yeah, I love this idea. The picture he chooses that he says will be best to paint is one of me and her from Lake Como in front of Villa Balbianello, which, interestingly enough, is where Anakin and Padme got married. I got the Star Wars tie-in too, right? So my idea, and obviously I could tell a 40-minute version of this, but I won't Brett Gardner you. Instead, I'll shorten it. So my idea was like, all right, we'll go to the art gallery. Like, I'll, kind of like steer her around, whatever. They'll put up the painting. We'll get to it, and I'll ask there, you know? So, and then we'll go to dinner afterwards, just the two of us. But, you know, she'll have thought we were going to go to dinner with our friends. So, anyway, so the art gallery was amazing down. They even gave me suggestions. I went there a couple times ahead of time to set it up.
I'm like, sure you went fucking every day for like the week leading up.
Texting every day. Texting, are you good? Are you good? You know what I did
do? I'm sure you wore those people out, guys.
I kind of did. But I actually, you know what else I did? I'll give him credit. So Axelrod, our good friend Brian Axelrod, I met up with him and he gave me a bottle of Ace to have planted there.
Okay.
And he was like, you know, the group chat might be mad that I know this and they don't. I said, it's okay, man. They'll deal with it. It's all right. We got to keep the circle as small as possible. So anyway, so I brought one of the days, I brought that, and they were like, look, we take paintings off the wall a lot. How about this? We'll have a painting removed from the center. When you walk in, so this is like someone who partners with the gallery is parents of people I went to middle school with. They're like, we'll say Vincent Valerino is his name. Shout out to him because he made it happen. Sent over something you guys should check out. Then take her to, there's like one little nook to the right of the gallery. Take her over there, get her back turned to the wall. We'll look in the security camera. We'll bring out the painting as you do, and then it'll be on the wall. I said, perfect. I also had, you know, Jim Petrozello, one of our photographers with the Yankees. He, curly haired dude, you probably recognize him if you know, but he, I hired to be like hidden photographer too. So anyway, I get there. As you said, bro, first of all, I was flying in from Minnesota that day, and it was when we were supposed to get the huge snowstorm here that we didn't, thank God.
Yeah.
Shout out. Yeah, I have the universe looking out for me there. But what you said about, like, that energy is just, like, different. It's, like, a different level of, like, nerves or whatever. You are right, man. Like, just trying to, like, pull it off or whatever. I was, like, shaking. Like, and I remember asking you, too, like, is it because you're, like, worried? Are you, should you be doing it, whatever? And it's like, no, it's just about, like, it's just a different life moment. Mm-hmm. You talked about that, too, like, when you're waiting for your bride to come down the aisle. Like, how it's just, like, it's like a crazy different energy, right? Like,
you always see guys crying and shit. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I definitely will. And so, but anyway, so I took her to the corner. They put the painting up, and then we turned the corner. And I think she's going to see the painting right away on the wall because there's only like 8 paintings on that wall and she doesn't see it. She just goes right up to the wall and looks at like painting 1 and 2 and 3 and then finally gets right in front of it, you know, and she just thought it was like this awesome surprise gift. And so she gives me a big hug and kiss like, oh, my gosh, this is incredible. And then I grabbed her hand, started saying some nice things and I was like shaking. And that's when she realized, wait, something else is going on here, you know. And then I at the end pointed her to the signature. And then got down on my knee, and I had the ring in a gift bag because I didn't want it on my body because I figured she would, like, feel it if she hugged me, you know? Yeah. So, and then asked, and it was great, man. She was totally surprised. It was amazing,
nice.
Man. And
congratulations,
bro. Thank you, man. Thank you, man. It was fun. And then we went to – you ever been to Daniel?
I've never been there.
Dude, amazing. If you want, like, I mean, fancy as hell, but, like, an incredible experience – we ended up having dinner there that night. It was awesome, man.
Yeah,
like,
I gotta check that out.
Awesome, dude. Like one
I
of those.
I never even heard of that place.
It's a great special occasion spot. Okay. Like if you and Amber wanted to do like I don't know something super fancy, like just the two of you, whatever, you're celebrating an anniversary or something like that. It's a good spot for that, man.
All right, I'll check it out.
It is, yeah. But so now you know. Now we move on from the story to you know whether or not you'll be able to make it to Italy for the wedding.
When is it?
I don't know yet, but I think probably summer of 2020. I think
I'll be on my world tour, cuz.
Yeah.
I'm going on a world tour in 2020, and that'll be a part of it. We have to work that in there.
All right, good. It'll be part of it. Do you know where do you have the spots you want to go?
Africa. Mm. I'm starting with Africa, and then I'll work from there.
How long you think you're going to go away for?
For Africa?
Yeah.
How long is this trip going to
be? Yeah, how long is your world tour
going to
be?
I think the trip's going to be a whole month, like 2 months. Like the whole summer, but I think I'll spend most of it in Africa.
Wow.
Like just going around different places, like a month. I want to spend like a month there.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Will the kids come with you guys?
At like different like points. I'm sure Lil C will be playing, you know, and the girls have dance and stuff, and Carter be playing baseball. So like I plan on like having them come certain places, drive, fly back. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, that's going to be amazing, man.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
That's like...
My 40th will be in south of France. That'll be my 40th birthday,
nice,
so it'll work out.
All right, so you already got it planned out, man.
We're good.
You're July 28th?
My birthday is July 21st.
21st.
I think
Alex
is the 28th. See, he's the A-Rod guy.
That's right. I knew it was one of you guys. That's awesome, man, though. That's what you do. So you know what? You go to Italy in June for the wedding, and then you work your way around and finish off for your 40th.
Yeah, it's the Olympics and all that shit, so yeah, it'll be
man.
Good summer.
I know. It's good. Dude, oh, fantastic. What are you... Are you excited yet for retirement, or are you just thinking about this season?
I can't let myself get so excited about retirement. I'm starting to lock in for the season. Like during this off season, I was excited about retirement.
Yeah.
But now that the spring training is getting closer, I'm starting to get locked in and want to see the guys and kind of hang out, start golfing, and you notice I didn't say anything about baseball. Just that.
I want to see the
guys
start golfing,
go fishing,
oh my gosh,
just hang out. But now, nah, like, I'm ready for it. The baseball to start.
Yeah. You ready to get to Tampa?
Yeah.
I see. You know what's funny? Because, like, it's such a long season, but I feel like every year, right? Like, once, like, Christmas has passed, you guys are always, like, ready to go.
Yeah, it is such a long season, and it wears us down, like, I mean, like, no other. But 2 months after the season, you're ready to do it again. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's such a weird thing that we're conditioned to, like, just be ready to play. And, you know, that's just part of it. So this will be the last time, though. I'm ready for it to be the last time.
Do you think you're going to be nostalgic throughout the season, like noticing different things that maybe you haven't taken the time to?
Oh, yeah, I'll be crying and all kind of shit at different points of the season and, you know, different places that I love to go. Like, you know, I'll be sad last time going to Chicago. You know what I'm saying? Kansas City, all those places I love to go, I'm sure mean a lot to me for sure.
That's interesting, man. Where do you think, like, what road city you think will invoke the most emotion?
Probably
for you?
Cleveland.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't even looked on the schedule yet to see when we play them. I think it's like we usually play them in July. But yeah, I mean, that'll be hard. I think Oakland will probably be tough. Anaheim is a place where like my family comes a lot. So that'll be a weird spot to have that be the last time. But we have a good schedule this year. We play in San Fran, we play in Dodger Stadium, we play in Arizona, so it'll be fun.
Yeah, actually a lot of West Coast stuff.
We got a lot of West Coast
League.
Stuff. Yeah, so that'd be good for like my family can come see me that last time. So it'll be good.
You think you probably have people at, like, every road
I'm gonna
city.
Have people all, I mean, yeah, it's already starting.
Oh my gosh. Who handles that for you?
Amber.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Amber's a superwoman.
Yeah, she does it all.
She really does. Yeah, it's great. Well, I mean, we know, even with podcast stuff, right? Like, we need Amber's approval.
Oh, yeah, she does. She does the schedule.
Yeah, exactly. She does. She is our schedule maker. and that's like, I'll text Sadie different things. And it's like, this is cool, but we need the Amber approval first. I'm like, yes,
sure.
I agree. By the way, just on a other sports note, are you going to Super Bowl?
I'm not. I've been traveling too much, man. There's too much shit going on this offseason. I need to chill out.
All right, cool.
I'll watch you at the house.
Me, Siegel, and Axelrod will be there without you.
You guys going?
Yeah, we are all going.
Are you working? Or you got stuff to do? You just going?
I'm just going. the I'm
you
going,
guys staying for the game or you or you just,
yeah I'm only going Saturday Sunday usually I go for like the week or whatever like days week, leading up to but I have a game Friday night in actually my game Friday night is sick it's Houston Denver
oh that'd which, be fun
yeah so I have a game I have that game Friday night so I'm just gonna go Saturday and Sunday and. It's Andrea's first time, too, so she's excited about it.
Oh, she's going down with you? Oh, yeah, that'd be
fine. And my parents go, so it's like a, yeah, it's a fun deal. And then we'll probably, like, you know, probably get some time hanging with Matt and Axelrod, so it'll be good, man.
Yeah.
You know, the atmosphere around Super Bowl is amazing.
Yeah,
man.
It's always fun, but I'm just worried that, like, the Rams don't have a fan base.
I am a little worried about that, too, yes.
And then the Patriots fans are like, hey, I just watch the shit at home.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So like, I don't know what it's gonna be like in Atlanta. I mean, obviously it's gonna be a lot of people and the atmosphere would be fun. But like, if the Chiefs fans were there, you know what I'm saying?
Or the Saints
or like the
fans.
Saints fans being able to drive over, like yes. That shit would have been nuts.
Nuts.
So like, I mean, I'm a little. I mean, the Rams literally don't have like.
I know. I am curious about that.
Like to see how it is.
Is it gonna sound like a Patriots home game because of that? You know,
you never know.
Yeah, and whenever I say something like that, I do know there's at least like some. Ridiculously, you know, there's some diehard Rams fan who's listening to this right now. Like, no,
fuck it matters.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
like it matters a ton for me.
But it's St. Louis, yeah, like the St. Louis fans.
Isn't Luke Voigt a Rams fan?
Remember, he hopped on.
Yeah.
Man, we like encouraged him.
Yeah, we did.
We encouraged him. Was like, oh,
right.
No, you can go to L.A.
Yeah, it's
you
okay.
You can be an L.A. Rams fan.
So now it's working out.
I wonder if he's going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you got to text him and see if
I would be
is,
like,
man.
Nah, fuck that. You can't jump on that bandwagon.
Yo, I want to see what Voigt's like off-season workouts are like, man.
He got married.
Oh, he did. That's
he got
right.
Married, yeah.
Congratulations, yeah. Luke. I'm sure
everybody
Luke's
on the team either got married or they went to Hawaii. Everybody went on the same vacation. We got stuck on that plane from Kansas City, and we got like free fly vouchers or whatever.
Yeah.
So everybody took the furthest trip that they could, like staying in the U.S., and that was Hawaii.
Guess
so
who else is doing that?
Everybody's in that. Oh, you were on that trip?
Yeah. So
you got a voucher?
I got a voucher.
Oh, yeah, he was on
for
that
the
flight.
Dallas part of it, where we had to turn around to come back.
Yeah. So this is a free. Yeah.
Yeah. So
free
my
trip
to Hawaii, I alluded to. That's what I'm doing for NBA
All-Star. Everybody's on the same fucking trip.
Exactly.
Everybody went to the, like, they literally, I can't wait to get to spring training and just ask everybody as a group, how was your vacation? Because they all did the same fucking thing. It's hilarious.
Did everybody hit up Mama's Fish House, though?
Oh, my God. You know, I made sure to get everybody on that.
Got
to
do that. Who do you think is going to win, Rams or Patriots?
Man, I want the Rams to win. CJ Anderson's from my hometown. We actually grew up like in the same, literally in the same neighborhood. I've been been knowing that kid his whole life. So that would be fun to see him, you know, get us. It'd be a second Super Bowl too. So it'd be fun to see him win a second one. But
yeah,
it's hard to bet against Tom Brady.
Yeah,
like you can't do it. It's just impossible. Especially with them having 2 weeks to prepare. They'll come out. They'll figure it out.
I kind of agree. Like,
it sucks that like it's sad. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they'll figure it out.
Right.
I guess it's what people that are not Warriors fans say about who's going to win the NBA championship.
Right. Like, they've struggled for a period of time. they'll figure it out. They'll win another title. You're right. It's amazing what they've done for this period of time. Like, think about Tom Brady's first Super Bowl he was in was 17 years ago.
I was there. I was at that one.
You were.
Yeah.
That was a great game too.
I was at the Rams
against the Rams. Yeah. Yep. He's facing the same team 17 years later. That's so incredible.
It's insane, man.
That's what I said about like Jeter and Mo too.
But
in
you know
09.
What? But a thing about him too is that like he went from like just don't fuck this game up for us. Like just let our defense play. Don't throw any interceptions. Don't fuck this up to like the greatest of all time.
Yes.
So you have to respect that.
Yes.
Like he wasn't Peyton Manning when he came out of college. You know what I'm saying? Like he wasn't winning them the Super Bowl.
He was the game manager.
He was the game manager that turned into the fucking GOAT.
Yeah.
So you have to respect that, man. Like I don't understand how people don't like people in the New York area hate Tom Brady, right?
They do.
But you have to respect him because of that. Like he went from don't fuck this game up for us and let us kick field goals and you know what I'm saying? To like he's winning the games. Like that's insane, man.
I think our promo for this episode is going to be some part of what you just said describing him. I like that.
It's true, though.
He went from don't fuck this game up
to the
fucking
GOAT.
He went from don't
fuck this up to the GOAT.
It's
seriously.
Amazing, man.
It's crazy.
It really is incredible.
So, it's hard not to like that guy and root for that guy. I mean, obviously, I know him being in the same division up here with the Jets fans and all that stuff, but, man, that dude's incredible.
Also,
man.
Shame on the AFC East. the rest of the team for never, ever putting up a fight for the Patriots. Oh,
the
my
fucking
gosh.
Dolphins and fucking
Bills and Jets.
The
Jets. Like, are you kidding me?
That division is awful.
Awful. Awful. It's awful. Now what the Patriots have done is unquestionably unbelievable.
Yeah, but it's like they all give up. Right, they have already given up.
It's also
until
amazing.
Belichick and Brady are out of there, and it's like they're giving up.
None of those teams figured out a way to compete any year. Not one. I mean, come on, man.
It's crazy.
For any sustained period of time, like the Jets had a couple random years, right? And the Dolphins maybe like one random year since they started. Otherwise, the patch of just
they've been
wiped
killing
the floor, man.
It's unbelievable.
It's crazy. How about last thing? Anthony Davis trade talk. What do you think about that?
Oh, man. I hate it. I hate it as a fan.
Yeah.
As a player, it's awesome to see. Like, these guys controlling their own destiny. Young guys doing whatever they want, going wherever they want, saying what they want to do. Lonzo Ball now saying he don't want to play for Pelicans. You know what I'm saying? Like, all that bullshit. But, like, as a player, it's awesome to see. But as a fan, I'm like, this is fucking he's 2 years away from being a free agent.
Yeah.
Like, I had to sit my time out in Cleveland before I came to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
right.
It is what it is. Like, you got drafted by them, play hard for them, like, you know what I'm saying, and move on. But for these guys to be putting out what they want to happen, and I don't know, it's just weird, man. I don't know if I could put myself in that situation. Even like with Christian Yelich when he was like, I want to get traded. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's just not in me, like, as a player. So, you know, kudos to those dudes for being able to put themselves out there like that and, you know, work themselves a trade. This guy's going to get traded to the Lakers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this shit is happening. And, like, it's just the weirdest thing that, like, everybody knows already.
And I wouldn't – if I was the Lakers, I know people are like, oh, don't deal Kuzma. I'm sorry. If that's what it takes to get Anthony Davis – Kuzma's in that deal. I'm fine with that. Like, I don't know. You really like him, huh?
Kuzma's a beast.
He's
like, there's other pieces you can give up.
Yeah, but
the Pelicans are gonna make them give them Kuzma.
Yes.
Now, especially because after they came out and said that this is tampering and they crying. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're
you. In my opinion, you got to give up two of three between Ball, Ingram, and Kuzma, and then probably Zubats and two first round picks. And if you're New Orleans, you know,
that's a lot.
It's a lot, but you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis then, you know?
You got LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Yeah, and you'll have one of those other three guys, and then you're going to attract somebody else.
So if you got LeBron and Anthony Davis, you really don't need Kuzma. You would need Lonzo Ball, to be honest with you.
Yeah, at the poor somebody. Yeah, yeah, at the point.
At the point.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know what Ball is going to be, you know?
I mean, at the very least, he can run the point for those dudes.
Well, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, he's fast and he can handle the ball. He sees the court.
Yeah.
So maybe he don't get traded.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's Kuzma and Ingram, and then you don't have. Maybe you give up one first round pick if it's Kuzma and not Ball.
And it's Ingram.
And it's Ingram. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You maybe be able to work a little better deal if you give up Kuzma.
The other interesting part of it is if Boston wants in, they have to wait till July.
Why?
Because there's a nuanced rule within the salary cap about the amount of max players you can have via trade. And so in this case, they already have Kyrie Irving in that situation. So they need to wait till they could sign Kyrie Irving as a different entity than what they acquired him as, and then acquire Anthony Davis. And they can do that July 1st.
So I feel like the AD's camp knew that, right?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So
clearly wants the Lakers, right? Like,
so this is the best way to set it up.
Yes. This is the best way to get
them these couple weeks to do it.
And then the next thing you do is you'd like not flagrantly but subliminally or under the radar in some fashion put out that, like, hey, he's only going to sign an extention with the Lakers. Everyone else, he's going to wait for free agency.
That is crazy, though.
Isn't that nuts?
You know what I'm saying? Like, the way that the shits just get orchestrated, like, it's fucked up.
It is crazy, man.
But, I mean, as a fan, it's weird to watch. But as a player, it's fun to see these guys get up and do whatever they want.
And I would say this. As much as he might say that and try and scare other teams off, kind of like what would seem like Paul George was doing.
I would still trade for him.
I agree. Because if you have a great situation, you believe in your culture.
If I was Boston,
right?
I mean, obviously they can't do it, but I'm trying to think of who else if I was somebody else that like has a good little core of players that could like actually make a run for a championship and say fuck it, I'm trading for him. You know what I'm saying? And maybe this shit works out just like it did, like you said, with Paul George.
Yeah, exactly. You know what, Toronto, Could they Toronto? Give up a couple young pieces for it? And you know what? Sometimes, right.
If you get him to Toronto with Kawhi, Kawhi's staying.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And he might stay.
Yeah, like, exactly. If they're like, wow, we like this playing
they're
together.
Staying there.
Yeah. That's the thing. If you believe you can convince them, you know, then you can find out. See, fun episode, man.
Yes, sir.
Good to be back, dude.
Yeah, man.
Remember, rate, review, subscribe, download. C wants you to.
Do it all.
Yeah, that's right. And we'll be back next Thursday. Every Thursday, new episodes of R2C2. Peace.